Can I make an admission real quick? I had no idea what that karma meant. You just educated me. I did not know how one like what that number translates.
Hi, and welcome to Backup Central's Restore It All podcast. I'm your host, W. Curtis Preston, a.k.a. Mr. Backup, and I have with me my fellow photo shoot model, Persona Maliandi. How's it going,
Persona? I'm good. That was a very interesting experience, but I had fun, and it was good to see you, too. What's funny is that's the first time I've been to an office in the last 2 years. It just wasn't my office.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was actually Dhruva's new office. We moved from, we were over on California Avenue in Sunnyvale. Now we're over on, what is it?
Mission College.
College in Boulevard. Santa Clara, yep. Across from the Intel Museum, I believe.
Yeah. It's one of Intel's campuses there.
And so I wanted to do some photos for the podcast.
Curtis was tired of his face being on the homepage or the title art for the podcast, but so I liked your photo.
What's that?
I like the picture of you on the podcast.
Like photo. Have you seen the new, the bearded contemplative one?
Yes, I have. That one's also good too. Yeah,
I got lots of compliments on that photo, but I wanted your picture. I wanted this giant mane of yours to be captured because I think one day you're going to come to your senses and maybe cut it all off, and I want to capture it for posterity. And so we had a photo shoot. And we got some, it was a lot of fun doing that.
It was.
Pretending like
thank you, Alex, if you're listening to this, but that was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for the help.
Alex did a great job. And there were just a couple of dudes taking photos in an office. It wasn't awkward at any time.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Yeah. Look longingly into each other's eyes. Yeah. By the time you hear this, hopefully those photos or some of those photos will be up on the website at backupcentral.com. And before I bring on our guest, I'll go ahead and throw out our usual disclaimer. I mentioned the Dhruva office. I work for Dhruva. Persona happens to work for Zoom. This is not a podcast of either company. And the opinions that you hear are all ours. Be sure to rate us at ratethispodcast.com/restore and subscribe to the podcast. You can either do it in your favorite podcatcher, or you can go over to backupcentral.com and subscribe to our mailing list, and we'll let you know every time we come out with an episode. And we also are always looking for interesting guests. We have discovered a good one this week. I'm very excited to bring him on. And if you're interested in the things we're interested, which is data protection, disaster recovery, backup and recovery, security, beer, barbecue.
Barbecue. Definitely yes to barbecue.
Definitely yes to barbecue. And just reach out to me at WC Preston on Twitter or WCurtisPreston@gmail.com. Today, I wanted to talk about a little something has happened in the InfoSec world in the right persona.
Yep. Just a tiny little something. Nothing big.
And flashing back to the Matrix. I don't remember which one. I think it was the third one. The Keymaster. He got the key with all the keys. So we're talking, of course, about the Okta compromise that went wide this week. So this guest persona.
You're excited, aren't you, Curtis? Aren't you?
I am. He's shrouded in mystery. We've had guests on before where we've used pseudonyms, but I knew those people. And so I knew their actual names, and then I had to pretend not to know their names and refer to them by Harry Potter and Ron Weasley. And you may recall that during the recording, occasionally I would slip up and call them.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, lots of editing for you, lots of listening to it. Yep.
But in this case, I have no idea who this guy actually is. I just know that he knows his stuff. I came across what I thought was a posting. It turns out it was a series of postings. We've already done a recording on it, which by the time this publishes, this, for those of you that listened to last week's recording, I think that was that last week?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. This is the author of the the Reddit post that we talked about that talked about, I think the title started out, okay, finally, we'll talk about ransomware. And he has been in IT for 25 years in the InfoSec space for about 20. He has, are you ready for this? He has a karma rating on Reddit of 33,000. I'm excited that I've got like 600. He's got 33,000, which means that at least 33,000 times someone has upvoted him. That's impressive in and of itself, because Reddit is a crazy place where if you say things that people don't like, even if you're correct, they'll vote you down anyway. So he's managed to convince 33,000 people somewhere to click on what he wrote. Welcome to the podcast, Snorkel42.
Hello. Can I make an admission real quick? I had no idea what that karma meant. You just educated me. I did not know how one, like what that number translates.
Every time you get an upvote, you get karma. And every time someone downvotes you, your karma is subtracted from. So,
okay. Now I know.
Yeah. I post in a number of non-IT subreddits where very much you can say the right thing, the correct thing, and they will get mad at you and downvote you, and then you just lost a bunch of karma. And since I'm a relatively, especially compared to you, I'm a relatively new Redditor. Would that be the right word? And I'm trying to, you
Reddit
know,
poster. Karma,
it helps you bubble up into threads and things. It gives your posts more weight. So yeah, the fact that you have 33,000 is a BFD.
I'll get a t-shirt made.
Why don't you describe what happened at Okta?
Yeah, I guess to start, I don't have any insider knowledge here. So all I have is what's been announced and what little Okta has been able to slip through their marketing and legal teams.
We're going to get to that.
Right? But basically, they contract out their customer support to a third party located in Costa Rica. And sometime around the end of January, a attacker from the Lapsus group gained access to one of those support engineers' laptops, supposedly over RDP, which is something else to get into. And for about 5 days, they had access to that laptop and were able to monitor, if not interact, the privileged access that that support engineer had. So Okta has an intro application that they call Superuser, which, by the way, what a terrible name. It doesn't mean that you have Superuser God mode necessarily. It's just the administrative interface to, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, hey, I'm going to go in and reset everyone's password to something I know. But it did give them the ability to reset passwords, to send links to customers to go reset their passwords, and to reset their multi-factor. And Okta started off with their CSO saying, no customers impacted. We detected this back in January, or we detected an unsuccessful attempt, which is the other thing to get into here, back in January, and shut it down. And then the second blog post, they added a little bit more. And then the third blog post, like 2.5% of our customers, about 366 people impacted.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's 366 people, but it's really 366 customers, which could be of any size.
And we certainly know from the screenshots that Cloudflare was one of those customers. And Cloudflare CEO was fairly vocal on Twitter about his dissatisfaction with Okta right now.
And Cloudflare, I thought, published a pretty good blog as well about sort of their analysis and what they did.
In fact, a lot of people felt that Cloudflare's analysis was better than what Okta provided themselves.
Me included, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, there were a couple of people, you put on another Reddit thread that was about this. Maybe more than one. I don't know. But I know I was reading one of them. And more than one former employee of Okta logged in and replied and explained basically what the super user, which I agree, it's a really bad name. But I don't know where to start. But the thing about the resetting passwords and stuff, like it didn't appear that they had the ability to do anything to be able to access an account. They could reset a password, they could reset or even remove MFA, but anything towards that would be sent to the customer. So at best, they would only be able to do that if they had access to that customer in the first place. So it didn't look like they would have been able to use this to actually access any customers. Does that sound about right to you?
It sounds about right to me for a few reasons. Look, to me, the biggest issue here has been the way Okta has been communicating to customers and the lack of transparency. And the reason why it's important is I find myself in my own back of my mind saying, if we believe Okta, every time I think about this, if we believe them. And the only reason I have that question for a company that their entire existence hinges on if we believe Okta. Like they provide, maybe we should start that off of what does Okta do? So Okta provides authentication services and identity management to corporations, particularly around single sign-on and multi-factor. And the way you can place them in your infrastructure can get as far as deep as through the Okta portal, I can reset your Active Directory, your on-prem Active Directory password. So you know it's a company that holds a lot of keys. And if you can't trust them, my God, how do you keep them in your enterprise? And so to your point of, yeah, it doesn't look like they had that kind of access to really take over the accounts of Okta customers. And I believe that to be true, not so much because of what Okta said, but mainly because Lapsus didn't appear to use it. I think if they would have had that access, we would have seen a much bigger impact. But
And by the way, I'm 100% on board with everything that you're saying about that the biggest issue here has been Okta's response. I just wanted to, for anyone who's listening to this for the first time, it sounds horrible and screenshots of customer data sounds horrible, but I do want to at least say it does look, based on the information we have, most of which did not come from Okta, that they wouldn't have been able to actually access any customer's environment. They might have been able to annoy some customers, change their passwords and things like that, but I completely agree with you that from the get-go, like from the very beginning, from message one and all the way up to message three, their verbiage is really weird, right?
I'm wondering if this has to do with any of the new laws going through Congress around data breaches or just public perception with everything going on in the world right now that they just did a PR blunder, if you will.
It could be
the big one.
Yeah. And certainly they are a publicly traded company, and that has certainly been called out in a number of forums of they may be tied as to what they can say. One of the things that really sticks out to me is from Cloudflare's response, it was very clear that they learned about this along with everyone else. So one day they woke up and saw screenshots on Twitter from an attack group of their information. And Okta has a publicly disclosed privacy and security policy that I can name that in sections 20 and 21 talk about when they will alert customers of a breach. And I think you would have to do some pretty fancy legal footwork to explain why Cloudflare did not know about this in January 20. To me, that is the real big takeaway from, do I trust this company anymore? The fact that the customers that we do know were impacted clearly didn't find out until the rest of the world found out as well. And that's an example of Okta not following their own policies. And that's troubling to me.
And especially because these are in legal contracts, you could be held liable for it, and you're losing the trust of your customers, right? Yeah. Who would trust Okta the next time something happens?
Yeah, and of course, the timing of it is very interesting in that Okta is saying that we couldn't respond until we got the security incident report from the company that this third party hired, and we just got that conveniently as these screenshots got posted. But even that, so you had a third-party contractor get compromised, and you know what kind of access they had, and you just sat on it for 3 months? Are you telling me that Okta did not actually get involved in that incident response at all? So just a lot of things not adding up, and it certainly doesn't paint a pretty picture for Okta.
Yeah, there was, I forgot, I was scrolling through the post right now, the verbiage where it says, you made a comment that it seemed that marketing was involved in these, the statements that went out. It did start out with, even in the third one, even in the third message, they referred to it as an attempt to access. This was not an attempt. This was a hack. I don't know what the proper term is in the InfoSec world.
No, I think a hack is absolutely the right term. And so they also have a timeline. And I think if you marry those blog posts where they talk about unsuccessful attempts and the timeline, you see where they're getting to. The unsuccessful attempt that I derive is where Okta caught them, which honestly, we need to take a step back and really give Okta security some kudos in the detection to begin with. So where Okta caught them was the attacker apparently attempted to add a second MFA token to the support engineer's account so that they could start approving. From what I've been told, Okta internally uses MFA a lot. So apparently Okta is huge on every step you take within their network is MFA. So it looks like the attacker tried to add their own MFA token. So, you know, while they had RDP access and the support engineer was away, they could start moving around and start responding to MFA. And Okta caught that, the addition of an MFA token from a weird location, which is fantastic, like really great job. And darn it. Yeah. So I think what Okta is referring to when they say there was an unsuccessful attempt was the unsuccessful attempt to add that MFA token. But boy, is that some marketing wordplay there to say, oh yeah, it's an unsuccessful attempt to take over an engineered laptop. No, they took it over. Yeah.
They took it over. They had access to your network. Yeah. They got it. They just weren't able.
Yeah.
Right. And for 5 days, they could do, because they were controlling that laptop via RDP, which is the remote desktop protocol, which should not be exposed to the internet.
Curtis's second favorite topic, I think.
And so it is a really good point. And I think this is what's way more interesting about this is, was it exposed to the internet? We don't know. If it wasn't, then it would sure seem that lapses actually have access to this third party's network first and then manage to get RDP access to this contractor's laptop. The screenshots show Global Protective, which Global Protect is a VPN product from Palo Alto Networks. So was this person work from home possibly? And that, you know, was their home network breached? So it does, from an InfoSec standpoint, it certainly does scream to me, you should have RDP locked down on your workstations. Does your laptop need to be able to accept RDP connections? Absolutely not. But yeah, so I think that RDP side, though, is really a big topic because it has a lot of fine read between the lines there of what does it mean that they had RDP access? How did they even reach it over RDP?
And it's something we may never really find out unless... Sure. Because yeah. No one's really going to bring that up. No one's going to talk about that. They're just going to say, yeah, we stopped the attack or whatever the breach was. They'll focus on the Okta side. Everyone talks about, okay, we found the issue or we saw what they were trying to do and we stopped it. End of story. Not necessarily. How did they really get in the first place? And what does that look like? And how do we prevent that from happening? Yeah.
And the thing to keep in mind, too, when we think about this is a third party contractor that specializes in 24/7 customer support for larger enterprises. If Lapsus, which is a attack group that's setting the world on fire right now, had access to their network, what else was there going on? Okta may be the tip of the iceberg for them.
Yeah, somebody, one of the commenters, they felt that the whole, like, throwing out the screenshots from Okta was actually an attempt at subterfuge on the part of Lapsus to throw away attention from the fact that the real problem is the access you just mentioned. And somebody said maybe that's why they threw out all the Okta information, because we're not talking about Sykes, we're talking about Okta. The technically the hack was actually a Sykes. Okta was just the customer in this case.
And Okta is very quick to call that out. They say third party as often as they possibly can, as if that's oh, wash our hands of that. Sure, we gave that third party access to go reset your passwords and MFAs, but that's their problem.
There were people, a handful of people in the comments, and there, as there always is on the internet, there were a handful of people that came to Okta's defense regarding that they get thousands of attacks a day and that they're saying no customer systems were accessed. And so was there really a duty to report back in January?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
The title of the post I had made was, am I overreacting? Because it's probably coming through in this podcast. I'm still quite upset with them. And I agree with a lot of what those folks were saying. Yes, I'm sure Okta is attacked repeatedly. Now, the question is, what does that look like? If they are attacked so often to the point that people have access to the super user program that it's such a non-event for them, like that's an everyday event, then holy cow, right? Like Seriously, if that's every day for Okta, then we have something way bigger to talk about here. I'm guessing that's not the case. I'm guessing this was a significant event for Okta. And downplaying that, I don't buy. I think this was a significant event, and Okta was very happy to keep it under wraps and hope that it never came out. And I think, as we said at the start, yeah, I don't think there was any actual breach of a customer's account. I think what we saw in the screenshots was pretty much all that happened. But I think if you were to get Cloudflare CEO on this podcast, he would tell you that was significant. And the fact that he didn't know about it until a couple days ago when it was posted on Twitter was not acceptable for him. And I'll be really surprised if Cloudflare isn't looking at moving to another provider right now.
It reminds me,
Cloudflare CEO wants to come on this podcast, he or she is more than welcome.
This kind of reminds me like how bad it could be of, I don't know if you both recall the RSA hack that happened many years ago, mm-hmm. where the root key was compromised, because that's almost what could have happened to Okta, except in the case of Okta, there's no hardware fobs, right?
So again, I think Okta does absolutely deserve some praise here. Despite giving the super user application a really stupid name, this tier 2 support engineer didn't have the ability to reset the password to something that he would know. If that were a scenario, if the attacker could have gone in and made the password, then this would have been a much bigger deal.
Subsequently deactivating MFA, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
The password to what you want and subsequently deactivating MFA, you're in.
Yeah, and if you start thinking about how many customers Okta has and what Okta actually does, where I'm logging into, you know, if they had access to the FedRAMP, if they were able to get into government systems that way. But Zoom, for example, if they were able to get into the Zoom Okta page, what applications would they be able to get into? I can tell you from my company, it's pretty much domain admin. You have access to everything, right? Definitely kudos to Okta for having those controls. And again, I really do praise their security team for catching it that quickly. That was an excellent detection on their part, especially for a third party in Costa Rica, having that kind of logging. Fantastic. But yeah, to your point, it could have been massive.
Yeah, this, I do think, I like that even though we agree it's a weird name, it does appear that there was, they did employ the concept of least privilege, right? There's a reason that they have, that they have the ability for a support person to do the password reset, because sometimes customers get locked out of their accounts. There's no other way to do that. But they so at least...
I need to interrupt because I disagree.
You disagree?
I do. So here's the thing, right? So they had these Okta support engineers, or honestly, what did we say, the Sykes? I can't remember which company came first.
Sykes.
But they,
yeah, Sykes.
These contractors have the ability to reset the passwords of their customers, of every user within their customers. And if Okta is your identity provider, that is where your accounts live, they are the source of truth, then maybe. But if Okta is just your single sign-on solution and your SAML solution or something along those lines for Active Directory, if you sign up for Okta as a customer, do you expect that there's some third-party company in Costa Rica that can reset your Active Directory passwords of your CEO right now? I wouldn't, and I would expect them, yeah, give me access, my admin access back to my dashboard if I happen to lock myself out at that point, yes. But down to the individual user level, that certainly caught me off guard. I did not expect that.
Because that should go through your normal IT process, which is owned by your company, and
right.
Driving it through Active Directory that way.
And it calls out another thing, that Okta publishes a document of their subcontractors, who they use. And this company is on that list in our 24/7 customer support. And in the notes, it says something along the lines of, they have no data centers. They simply have access to our Salesforce and AWS. That's it. So if you are doing your due diligence as a customer and doing your vendor reviews, and you're looking at their subcontractors, you see this and like, all right, I don't care if they have access to Salesforce and AWS, that can mean anything. I don't think any reasonable human could read that and go, oh, this third-party contractor has the ability to reset my Active Directory passwords.
Yeah, good point. And so I'll take back my comment. I forgot about that part. And there was a comment, again, from the former Okta employees or people claiming to be former Okta employees. And what they said was, the practice and the policy is that you do not use this power to do that. but that right. power is still there.
And that's probably the mistake, right? That you can't trust people to have the power and not use it.
What you would do, I could see edge cases where maybe that's needed. I can't imagine it right now, but let's just say those edge cases, to me, those would be edge cases, and they would require additional MFA, for example. If you're going to do the thing that we don't think should normally be done, then that should require MFA or MPA. If you're going to reset a password that deep, then it should have to come from multiple people.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you would think if it's an edge case, it would be an escalation, right?
Yeah.
There's one person on a floor.
You're right. So in one sense, they did separate, but they didn't. It sounds like you're saying they could have done the least privileged concept a little better.
Yeah, I think more it's, and it goes back to exactly what I was railing against at the very beginning. It's a communication issue that I'm struggling with Okta right now. As an Okta customer, I did not know they had that capability. And after doing due diligence, and I happen to know about a sub-processor document because I happened to have it on my computer when this happened, I went, wait a minute, was that even disclosed? And I went, looked, huh, no, not at all. And the word that really stuck out to me was the simply. They simply have the ability to access Salesforce and AWS. Wow. So how does a company who's trying to do the right things, trying to do their due diligence, trying to make sure that they're onboarding vendors that aren't going to open them up for, you know, security woes, what do you do in that situation when a company as big as Okta is frankly at least being awfully liberal with their definitions?
Yeah, that is, I would feel much better if they notified of what happened in January.
Yeah.
And they said, listen, there was this thing happen. I can understand why they might not want to, but I can see this is what happened. We're not sure of the extent. We're studying it, et cetera, whatever. But just a simple notification. And that would allow people to go just do a quick, did anybody change their passwords? Did anybody lose their MFA? Whatever. Just let me go as a user, go just do a quick check that everything seems fine. But if you're not even told that, you're not going to go do it. You're not going to go do a check.
And honestly, it could have been a great success story for them. I mean, as I've said several times now, you know, nothing but praise for the security team that caught it. If they would have came out in a reasonable time and said, hey, heads up, here's what happened. Here's where we detected and stopped and the controls that we had in place to realize it. And here's what we're going to do to make sure that RDP is inaccessible on those third-party support on contractors, laptops, and things along those lines. I think people would have been, wow, yeah, that could have been real bad, but kudos to Okta. They got their fingers on the pulse and they know what's up. Instead, this is a PR nightmare for them. To what end? I don't know. I don't know what they were gaining from trying to keep this quiet and then doing this frankly, pathetic attempt at wordsmithing their official message.
And I think that's the danger, because a lot of people in the InfoSec community, right? You guys know the difference. Like, you can smell the lack of transparency, that something is fishy, something doesn't sound right.
Right.
And you lose trust in them.
Yeah. And again, for a company like Okta, that's not a company you can lose trust in. And it's a shame, too. It's a shame to see, because it would have been such an easy message for them to deal with properly.
Yeah, their stock price went from 166 to 145 in the last 2 days. It could have been, it's a 10% loss. Could have been better. And I agree with you that I think that companies that are Okta customers are going to reevaluate their trust that they have placed in this huge company. And Okta's, and the thing that really is, Okta's the default, right? And Okta's everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just, go ahead.
You have to have a good reason not to pick Okta. Like, you won't lose your job for recommending Okta at your company. It's gotten to that stage for Okta. Or right. It was that way for Okta.
It's to the point where if you are implementing a new product and you look up their documentation of how do I implement SAML, chances are it's going to say, oh, if you're an Okta customer, just click here. And they'll have the screenshots. And then there's everyone else.
Yeah.
Okta screenshots mean something very different now.
Right.
Oh, that's tough. So I can I assume now that the 2.5% of customers have been notified?
This again goes back to, if we take Okta's word for it, yes. That was the other side of this, of the blog post, right? The comment after doing a thorough analysis over the last 24 hours and scanning, I think it was like 125,000 log entries. That's a significant number as logs go. We now know that 2.5% of our customers were impacted, which, again, you take just half a step back and you think about that. So for 3 months, you did nothing. Then these screenshots came out. And in 24 hours, you looked at, what do you think 125,000 logs are to Okta? An eighth like of their log? Yeah, it's nothing. And it's such a disingenuous comment, too. You looked at it like, oh, so you had like skilled security engineers looking at those logs? Like, no, you ran some greps on them. You didn't actually look at them.
I was going to throw out grep. I was going to say, they grep some stuff.
Like, I tell you that this, I'm sure their CTO isn't the guy actually, or CSO, I forget what his title was, is actually writing these things. I'm sure it's going through all kinds of legal and marketing, but man, every time he posts, get the popcorn out because he just keeps making it worse.
I don't know. Any advice for Okta customers? What do you
think? With regards to this breach, I truly don't think it's significant in terms of customer impact. Always do your IR, always do your due diligence, go look at your logs from that time frame, see if there were any strange resets. But that breach is not keeping me up at night. What my advice is, and certainly what I've been doing, is contact your Okta reps and make a stink and try to drive the message that I'm not concerned about this breach. I am concerned about how you handled it. And the fact that you waited 3 months and for the attackers to give up the evidence for you to say something makes me have to question, what else are you sitting on? What other security incidents have occurred that you have conveniently not reported? And I'm not saying there are any. I don't know, but that's the problem, that I no longer trust them to tell me. And I think that's what Okta needs to hear. And be nice to your rep, right? Like, they're caught up in this too, but make sure you're saying, hey, escalate this to your executive level, because this is just not an acceptable way for a company like Okta to be operating. Yeah, that's my main comment to all Okta customers is, now's the time to take off the gloves and raise some stink.
Send a WTF to your Okta rep. For the record, it's 2 months, not 3 months. Just throwing that out there.
Nah, it's end of January. It's end of March. But okay. Fair enough.
Once I got the math right.
For once, Curtis. Yeah. Curtis and math do not work.
I'm always off by an order of magnitude, usually, or something. I'm like, I think that was 10%.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
That
1, 2, 3.
That's how it works.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thanks for coming on to talk about the Okta situation.
It was a pleasure. I don't know if that's the right word.
This is never fun as a persona. This
no,
kind of
it's, not. It's not. Yeah. I hope at least you had a chance to vent, Snorkel.
You know, it was cathartic. Yes. Thank you. And yeah, I learned with Gia.
This is not a, one of my favorite words is the German word Schadenfreude, which means taking joy in the misfortunes of others. This is not that. This is anger, right? This is, I agree with you. Like, how is this? It's the whole like, oh, now you're telling us after the screenshots came out. And would we ever even heard of anything?
They should have saw it coming. This is what this group does. They're an extortion group. They stole the screenshots, and I'd be willing to bet money that they were holding that up to Okta, send us money or we're going to disclose these. Like, Okta could not have been surprised when those screenshots finally appeared. The whole thing is you have to wonder what they were thinking.
It sounds a little staged, if you will, or planned. They knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. They weren't paying up or whatever. And
which you would think that they would take the other approach and let's be the ones to control that message then. Yeah. Let's be the ones to disclose that this happened. Because it really, if we take them at their word, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
They could have controlled that message. Instead, it's a big deal.
It's not the crime. It's the cover up.
Yeah.
Same old. All right. Thanks to our listeners. And be sure to subscribe so that you can restore it all. You could restore